More job cuts are on the horizon, this time from a big mall owner. It's the business news headlines for Tuesday, the 22nd day of September. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. Stocks rose today, even with all the uncertainty in tech-led. Ford has reached a deal to save Canadian jobs. Is Quibi already on the block? Household income is up, so where are the poorest cities in the United States? We'll share the top five. We've got the Wall Street Report and a report on COVID-19 scams. And for the interview, it's Kylie Coles in our Small Business Spotlight with 29th State Apparel. But first, the news.
Insight on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of the HR professionals at Oasis, a paychecks company at oasisahr.com. Taro International, a company that trains business leaders to be more successful. Achieve, lead, and outclass with Taro, TERO.com. The National Tractor Parts Dealer Association, with members in the United States, Canada, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand, NTPDA.com. And AARP, where they work to provide leadership in a host of issues from healthcare to creating more livable communities. Learn more at aarpiowa.org. The business news is next.
Once again, thank you, Hunter Pease, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Business News Headlines. I'm your host, Michael Libby. Well, today, according to a memo, Brookfield Property Partners, one of the biggest mall owners in the United States, announced that it's cutting 20% of its workforce in the retail section of the company. And yeah, the pandemic strikes yet again. The unit has more than 2,000 workers, according to a spokeswoman who declined to comment beyond the memo. And there was this timing issue. Brookfield bet big on retail with its purchase of mall owner General Growth Properties for about $15 billion back in 2018. Since then, of course, pressure has been mounting across the industry, with the pandemic pushing even more customers to embrace the convenience of e-commerce, leaving many malls in the dust. So far, the firm's shares, they've dropped by about 40% this year. Even in light of great uncertainty, the markets had a decent day today and were led once again by tech stocks. This even after Fed Chair Jerome Powell told the House Financial Services Committee that the, quote, path forward will depend on keeping the virus under control and on policy actions taken at all levels of government, end quote. He went on to say that both employment and overall economic activity remain well below their pre-pandemic levels, and the path ahead continues to be highly uncertain, end quote. Investors, they shrugged it off and bought on the dip. I'll share those numbers with you in just a bit. Ford Motor agreement with its Canadian production workers that saves its only vehicle assembly plant in that country. The three-year deal includes investing $1.4 billion in two Ontario facilities. Jerry Diaz, president of Unifor, said at a press conference in Toronto he called the whole thing a home run. The tentative pact calls for Ford's Oakville, Ontario plant to assemble five battery-powered models beginning in 2025. Unifor represents about 5,400 Ford hourly workers, including 3,400 at Oakville. The plant was at risk of closing because the Edge sport utility vehicle made there has an uncertain future. Ford will also build batteries at Oakville as it becomes a key production site for the automaker's plan to invest $11 billion to electrify its lineup with plug-in vehicles, including, get this, the Mustang Mach-E, coming later this year. Imagine an electric Mustang. Want, yes. Once Ford workers ratify the agreement, the union will move on to negotiate a deal with Fiat Chrysler, leaving General Motors for last. The union represents 20,000 hourly workers at three companies. Yeah, a Ford Mustang Mach-E. Oh, I can't wait. I really can't. Hey, 24/7 Wall Street is reporting that short-form video streaming site Quibi might be on the sales block soon. Media reports have offered reasonable evidence that it's well behind its subscriber targets. The Wall Street Journal reports that its owners may sell it if they can. If they were to receive a sum even close to the most recent $1.7 billion valuation, people would be, well, in a word, stunned. Quibi has been overwhelmed by competition with better content, and its formula has not captured an audience that wants programming that's so different from its rivals. The most often mentioned problem for the site is that, well, just over a year ago, the streaming wars had two large players, Amazon and Netflix. Other services like Hulu tagged behind, but they did survive. Since the start of 2019, the market has been overwhelmed by new competition. At the top of the list is Disney Plus, which has a world-famous brand, a tremendous library, and a parent with deep pockets. AT&T, Viacom, NBC Universal, and Apple have squeezed into the market as well. Consumers will only, by the way, spend so much on these services and only have so much time. So there. According to data from the U.S. Census Bureau, the typical U.S. household earned $65,700 last year. That was up by nearly $3,000 from the previous year. Of course, that was in 2019. This year, who in the heck knows, but follow along with this story. The increase in household income continues nearly a decade of uninterrupted year-over-year income growth in the United States since the last recession. Though median household income stands at an all-time high in much of the country, incomes are much lower than the national benchmark in various places around the United States. Places that are often considered drivers of regional economies, where most households earn far less than what is typical nationwide. Using median household income data from the Census Bureau's 2019 American Community Survey for all 384 metropolitan areas, 24/7 Wall Street identified America's poorest cities. In each of the metro areas on the list, the median household income is well below $50,000 a year. So we will not offer all of those cities, but just the top five poorest cities in the United States. Coming in at number five with a median income of just $41,500 is Pine Bluff, Arkansas, where unemployment was set at 5.2% in 2019. Gadsden, Arizona is number four with a median income of $41,400, even though the 2019 unemployment rate was low at 3.3%. The third poorest city in the United States is Brownsville, Texas, where the median income is $41,100 a year with an unemployment rate last year of 5.5%. Coming in is the second poorest city in the United States is Albany, Georgia. The median income there is $40,600 a year, and the median home price was $125,000. Finally, the poorest city in the United States, according to data from the Census Department, is Monroe, Louisiana, where the median income is $40,100, and last year's unemployment rate was 5.4%. Now, if you want to check out the list, head to 24/7 Wall Street and search for poor cities. Stocks rose today, recovering from the previous session's steep sell-off. Investors bought on the dip, and Amazon led shares of big tech higher. The S&P 500 closed 1.1% higher at 3315. The NASDAQ climbed 1.7% to 10,963, and the Dow was up 0.5% or 140 points to settle at 27,288. Today was the first time in 5 days that the S&P 500 and NASDAQ posted a daily gain. The Dow, with this session, snapped a three-day losing streak. Amazon shares rose by 5.7%. Facebook and Microsoft and Alphabet each gained 2%, and Netflix was up by 0.8%. Even with a less-than-upbeat report from Fed Chair Jerome Powell, the markets had a good day. And finally, there is this. Since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic in the United States, and according to the Federal Trade Commission, consumers have filed more than 205,000 reports of fraud linked to the coronavirus since the beginning of the year. The average loss was about $300. It was more than double for seniors who are at least 80 years of age or older. The prevalence of fraud is likely much higher than federal figures suggest, since they don't reflect scams unreported by consumers. Scammers have used multiple avenues to steal money from unsuspecting Americans, including crimes around financial relief like stimulus checks and unemployment benefits, fake treatments for COVID-19, and fraudulent charities. One word, beware. Coming up next, and just a click away, it's our Small Business Spotlight, where you will meet Kylie Coles, one half of the company 29th State Apparel. What is it? What do they do? And a bunch more. The Small Business Spotlight shines on 29th State Apparel, and that is next.